And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your Tuesday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell hanging out at our game studios. Got a lot of things to get into today. We're going to head east here in about 15 minutes. We're going to catch up with Vince Ferrara, talk about Tennessee coming to town. Speaking of Tennessee, Philip Fulmer will join us at 1 o'clock today. We had a really good conversation with Purdue head coach Jeff Brohm yesterday, and looking forward to talking to Philip Fulmer today at 1 o'clock. Tim Hasselbeck at noon. We'll get into all things NFL, and following Tim, we'll do our new top 10 after the Rams and the Cardinals last night, and then our weekly chat with David Poyle coming up in the second hour of the program. It was a good game last night.
It was a fun game last night, for sure. I agree. I was hooked. I missed some of the first half because it took me 2 hours to get home. Because
Were you on 24?
No, I was on I-40.
Oh, wow.
It was shut down on the west side. Apparently, it was a bad, like a 12-car pileup.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, it was an issue.
That's never good.
So I left the radio station at 6 and was home at like 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That was fun.
Or not.
No. Had time to respond to people on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
I guess you were just sitting. Hopefully you weren't driving.
No, I was sitting. There was a lot of sitting.
Mm. I didn't think Kyler Murray looked great. I thought he made a lot of bad throws. He looks like something's off. Looks like he's still dealing with an injury. Not to make excuses, he's out there. He's playing, so he didn't help. I don't think he helped his team. I think at times he's still, you know, dynamic. He makes incredible plays. But, man, he really hurt them. He hurt them a lot. And, gosh, some of those interceptions were bad. I don't know if you noticed or not, and I know this is, you know, I'm the one sitting here praising Kyler Murray. I pick him every year in fantasy. But you do wonder, like, I don't know how, if this is, you know, can change or not. I guess you adjust, but did you notice how many balls he was getting batted down? I mean, obviously he's not a 6'4" quarterback. I mean, he was getting a lot of, like, Leonard Floyd was, I mean, just wreaking havoc on him last night, and Aaron Donald, which, you know, Aaron Donald does that to everybody. But did you notice how many times they got a hand or a finger on one of his passes?
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, he just kind of – I think the way I described it is he looked out of sync. Like, there was just – even that last play.
Something was – yeah. That,
which I don't know why he didn't spike it.
I know. What?
That was bad.
What is going on? Did you hear his explanation? It's like, yeah, the offensive line thought we were going to spike. And it's like, well, yeah, because that's what you should be doing. What
you
do
had
you
plenty
mean?
Of time to spike it and then put a play together.
Yeah.
No, absolutely no reason to snap it when they did. I thought the broadcast did a good job of pointing out a lot of questionable decisions by not only Murray, but Kingsbury. And that's been the rap on Kingsbury the whole time, right, coming into the season. But we saw some of the game management decisions that were questionable play out a couple of times, and that it could have changed maybe a chance to come back. But getting back to what you said, Darren, I thought the key play of the game was the first interception by Murray.
No doubt.
Where
killer. Yes.
And it was a tip ball that got picked, and that seemed to get the Rams going. It's like at that point, the Rams figured out, you know, we got a chance here. We can hang with these guys, and then they turn the momentum, really for the rest of the game.
You're right about that.
But
I thought Murray
really ran well. He made some really exciting runs, like he always does. He runs like nobody else.
But you can tell,
you're right.
There's
still a lot out of sync. Like Connor is saving the offense right now.
No
Connor
kidding.
Is the man.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, just
as I said,
I didn't bring it up. I just mentioned James Conner.
Yeah,
had a good
well,
game.
You made a point to work that in there. You know why?
Well, I think anybody that watched the game saw James Conner had a great game.
I told you that Chiefs defense sitting him on the bench was going to cost me. Yeah, but by the way, we were the two high teams. You know, us, nobody cares, but you know, I do. But we're the two high teams. We were the two high teams for the week. I got to take a loss because I'd play you guys. And I set the Chiefs
defense.
Sorry,
not sorry.
I know. I know.
Smart drafting.
You had 125
points. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had 26 on my bench with the Chiefs and negative one from the Panthers. 27-point swing. And I lost by?
You lost by about 20.
Yeah. 22, I think.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
You would have won. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You would have won.
Yeah, yeah, well.
You would have won.
I wasn't going there. You brought that up, Darren.
Oh, you were.
You left Osborne. Osborne had 17
for
you.
That was a sneaky work in. Sneaky work in by you. Good job.
Good job, Willie.
I am really curious, though, about Arizona in the playoffs, because I do see a team, and Lewis Riddick and Brian Griese, I thought, spelled it out really well. They have a lot of talent, but can they all get on the same page? Those mistakes at the end of the game, I don't know if it cost them the game. They still may not have won the game, but they missed out on a couple of chances. Like, I think everybody had to be thinking, hey, you only have a certain amount of time. You have no timeouts. And you've got a really good field goal kicker who's hot.
Yeah, no
kidding.
He
routinely makes it from the 50-plus. Kick the field goal early. And then if you get the onside kick, you have time to actually make a drive. Whereas they waited and waited and waited, and it cost them a ton of time to finally get the field goal. They still had to get the onside kick. They get it, but they really didn't have enough time to make it work from there. It was going to take a miracle. Plus, then they get a penalty and those things. So it had to be really frustrating to watch if you're a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, I think you ask a really good question, though, what they're going to be in the playoffs. Because
they're 3-3 at home.
Yeah.
They're 7-0 on the road.
Isn't that amazing?
And they might be hosting some playoff games.
Amazing.
And their only losses are to the Packers, the Rams, and then what was the other one?
Panthers.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was a weird
one.
Oh yeah, no.
Weird. Everybody's got a weird one or two.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Or three if you're the Titans. But, I don't know. And this is where the Cliff Kingsbury questions come into play. You know, is he going to be able to go to that next level in the playoffs and manage his team? And what's Murray's health?
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past, right? He unfortunately has been dealing with this a lot early on in his career, and it continues to haunt him. And you're wondering, a little guy like that, as much as he runs, is this something that's going to plague his entire career? I don't know. Is he going to always be banged up? And when he's banged up, look how different they are. I mean, there's no secret. They go as Kyler Murray goes, period.
Willie, Robbie is already trolling you, saying that you're going to have the Rams ahead of the Packers.
Well, we'll have to find out. That's coming up later today. Well, you'll be listening.
Weren't willing to comment, so that
is that a tease?
Could be. Could be. I like it. That's a gutsy win by the Rams with all the players out. No Jalen Ramsey. But they have 5 starters out last night due to COVID.
Yeah. It was gutsy, for sure.
It's a big win on the road.
You know what else I saw from the Rams that I thought was important going forward? They actually had some semblance of a running game.
Well, and Daryl Henderson was one of the guys out.
But Sony Michel ran the ball pretty well.
He did. Mm-hmm.
And they talked about how they have sort of transformed. They've gone back to having Matthew Stafford under center more and trying to play to his strengths. And especially now with Woods out. Now, maybe we'll see a development in Beckham. He made, obviously, some big plays last night.
Three straight games with a touchdown. First time in like 5-6 years in his career he's had 3 straight games with a touchdown.
And it looks still clear that he doesn't know the offense fully yet. Mm-hmm. He's still learning. There were some plays where he's on the wrong side, all that stuff. But if they can keep getting him up to speed and they have a running game, that's still a very scary team, I think. And no, they will not be ahead of the Packers in my top 10, but that has to get your attention. You get a win like that.
How good is Cooper Kupp?
I mean, he's a tremendous football player.
Wow.
And they use him so well.
Ridiculous.
They use him so perfectly, too.
I know. He is so good. Gosh, he's good.
You know what I was thinking? He's like a running back who catches passes, but the opposite, right? He's a wide receiver. Some of the passes they throw to him are like running plays. You know, they toss it out to him quick, but he's so good at finding the lane.
Well, he's
on
the best
sideline.
Yak guy in the league. Best.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
He had the one play where Van Jefferson, who had a really good game last night, was called for the hold. That was kind of a questionable holding. That was another catch. He could have had more.
Yeah. Yeah. Just think about guys like the likes of Tyreek Hill, other guys that we would identify that would probably lead in the yak category. He's the number one guy in the league, yards after catch. And it's really not even close.
Most of it is, a lot of it is by design, right? On the way these plays, he's so good at reading the blocks out wide, and they're good at setting up blocks on the boundary there. You can see why he gets all those yards after the catch.
By the way, that is now six games this year. Matthew Stafford has had at least three touchdown passes with no interceptions. Six times this year. Pretty good. That's how you're going to win. I know. That's what I was going to say. That's how you're going to win. I mean, that's the bottom line, and that's a pretty impressive stat. That means you were throwing the ball a lot, and you didn't have any picks. Six times, three or more touchdowns, no interceptions. Pretty impressive. I was looking at the early bets right now coming in on the NFL, and then we'll head to the break, come back with Vince Ferrara. What game we talked about this weekend? This is a big, big lineup, starting with Thursday night, Chargers, Chiefs, two games on Saturday that are huge. This is a monster week 15. Which game right now currently has the most action on it?
Colts, Patriots.
I'm sorry, not the most action on it, the most on one team, sorry.
Oh.
Sorry, different. Yeah, difference. What team has the most action on it right now?
Colts.
Actually, the money is on New England.
Really?
Yep. Money's on New England.
Pittsburgh.
The money is on Tennessee.
Really?
51%. 51%.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, 51%. Right. And by the way, that's the lowest game this week. That is basically a 50-50 game right now. It's the lowest one with the action on one side. So that tells you right now, I guess the sharps think it's a toss-up game. But Tennessee is 51%, slightly over. Right now the heavy money is on Green Bay over Baltimore.
Interesting.
Does that mean they think – because then you would think it would be a little bit different with the news yesterday. John Harbaugh saying, yeah, wouldn't be surprised if Lamar Jackson plays. You know, you would think that was – the public was told, hey, Lamar Jackson is out.
Right.
89% of the money's on Green Bay right now. Willie, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm notating right now as I piece together my top 10.
But you don't have anything to say like, yuck, why would anybody bet on the Packers? They stink.
No, nothing like that.
No?
I have a green shirt on today, as a matter of fact.
Which is a giant coincidence.
It's kind of not the right shade of green.
Since we're on Zoom now, if you could just put on a slap on a cheese head during the top 10, I mean, our numbers will go through the roof.
Okay. I do know some cheese heads.
Well, yeah, we know cheese heads.
I don't think they're close enough to me to
I like cheese. Cheese head.
You don't have one laying around? No?
I don't have one laying around. No.
Oh, man. I'm sure we can get you one. We got a couple hours before we do that.
I did give Bob Cole the shout out the other day because he was in heaven. We had the game Predators against the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Second game with the doubleheader. Earlier in the day, it was Knicks Bucks. And, of course, Bob is a huge Milwaukee guy all around. So he got to see the Bucks game at noon, stay in the truck and, you know, do the game that night.
Nice.
So, and then while our game was going on, you had the Packers playing. So he's watching the second half of the Packers on the bus to the airport. So it was a big day for Bob.
No kidding.
Big day for Milwaukee fans.
It was a Milwaukee day, wasn't it?
A big time.
Big day.
All right, we will come back, and we will talk with Vince Ferrara. Of course, Tennessee coming to town December 30th. Basketball team, a lot of action going on there. big announcement from their quarterback. Is he coming or is he staying or is he going? Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Is he staying or is he going? We'll get into all that and more with Vince on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, you know that music, what that means. It's time to head east. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
I keep on calling. She didn't call back.
Presented by Creation CBD. Products curated for life. That's Chase.
Chase on
that's,
game.
That's Maccababe. Just calling out from the Hillside Medical Game I'm Studio. Dead. Calling out. Just saying, hey.
How you doing? Why
don't you return my call?
How you doing?
Let's go to Vince Ferrara before this gets any more awkward. He's with WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. He's probably in a parking garage. Vinny, how you doing?
I am good. I'm sure that's the first time all day that you've been wrong, Darren. So, no, I'm not in a garage. I'm actually on the road, headed to work to do the midday show today.
Rarely does it happen once a day, but, you know, maybe that is going to be my one hiccup today. My one.
He's never wrong.
Nope. Well, I said sometimes, every once in a while, every once in a blue moon.
There's a standard, so.
By the way, I did get a kick out of your morning Java. Where was that?
It was a to-go dinner at a restaurant not too far from where I live, so that was the bag with my name on it, spelled D-I-N-C-E.
Bence. Because everybody knows a Bence.
Right.
I know some former Titans players that had Bens, but they didn't have a Bence.
Right. And it kind of branched off into, oh, that looks like a G, it's Binge. So binge away, Vince, and all kinds of things. So, you know, I guess someone said Vincenzo.
Vincenzo.
And then, of course, my reply was, because I get Vinny spelled D-I-N-N-I-E.
Willie, yay. Another I-E.
Right. And I say, I'm not Vinny the Pooh. Right, that's with an I-E. It's V-I-N-N-Y. Thank you very much.
Oh, my favorite. Willie's favorite. Willie with an I-E. Nope.
Boy, if I had a dollar for every time.
Oh, my gosh. We would never see you again. Yeah. You'd be on an island. It'd be called Willie Island with a Y.
I get texts. I get tweets. And they say Willie with an I-E.
Yeah. I got my baseball card has I-E. Well, that's forever, man.
We got to give everybody a break. You haven't been in this market very long, and, you know, so maybe they'll get used to the why. I showed a picture of you, and Chasewood, he wasn't with me, but he was with me on the trip. He wasn't with me at the airport because I was having to get on, and the private jet was booked, so I had to actually fly commercial. Boy, that sucked. And I had to go to the Tampa airport to get back for Guns N' Roses at Nissan Stadium. We were down in Tampa, and I wanted to get a coffee at Starbucks, and what's your name? Darren. And then I got my coffee, and it said Darion. I had to take a picture of that because that was a new one. I've seen Darion. A lot of different ways of saying Darren or spelling Darren, but Darion is not one of them. So that was a first.
Yeah, and look, we sort of talk for a living. So we may at times pronounce and project a little bit better than maybe the normal person. I don't know, but yeah, listening can be hard sometimes. So it also doesn't surprise me that it's from Starbucks because it's on the regular that they butcher my name at Starbucks. So.
Well, Bence, what'd you make of the Hendon Hooker? News. He is returning, which honestly, and I don't walk in his shoes, but it's the right move in my opinion. What about you?
Yes, it is. Not shocked by it. He wanted to go through the process, and I really think that he wanted to give it every opportunity to see if he could get the feedback that maybe he would go higher, potentially, than he may have previously heard. And everyone I've talked to, any draft projections you see, he would be a mid-round pick if he was coming out. And there's room to improve on that. Now, obviously, there's the most recent example of Kenny Pickett. Not everyone's going to be Kenny Pickett, but that carrot is out there as incentive. And look, he puts in the work. He made the massive jump. So who's to rule him out in terms of doing that? It's the smart thing to do. And I give him a lot of credit. And he obviously was going to be a plus for Tennessee to have him in the bowl game as well. And also, it completely changes the projection of Tennessee next year. You look at them so different, and a lot of the decisions for whether players to come back or not, I think now it enhances your chances of getting some of those other guys, especially on offense.
No doubt about it. Real quick sidebar. Mm-hmm. I was watching this morning get up, and Jeff Saturday every week calls it pancake. You know, he's basically praising the offensive linemen that, you know, deliver big pancake blocks. You know who was one that got in me really pumped this morning? Trey Smith again. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of teams in the league that are going to, you know, shake their head going, he went in the sixth round, what were we thinking? Including the team right here, because he played in the state, and boy, could they use an offensive lineman, especially a guy playing his position. And by the way, it was against the best player on defense for the Raiders, Max Crosby. Trey Smith just continues to play exceptional for the Chiefs. A sixth-round pick.
Yeah, it's
did you see
incredible
it?
Incredible watching him. Yeah, and he mauls people every week. The week before, he was just on primetime. He was just, I guess it was Sunday Night Football. He was pushing guys 15 yards down the field regularly, and just no one getting past him. I mean, he has been, I don't know where his pro football focus grades have been the last few weeks, but I know he was right up there early in the year, and he has just been incredible. The key to that has been him staying healthy, not having to deal with it, and you know, they were fortunate, the Chiefs were, that they were able to get a little bit more clarity in terms of the medical than some others that may have taken them off their board. And, you know, sometimes you gotta risk it. And, boy, the Chiefs did and are getting a benefit from it.
We had Jeff Brohm on the show yesterday. Of course, that'll be Tennessee's matchup here in the Music City Bowl. He had two important guys, one on offense, his receiver David Bell, and one on defense, George Karlaftis, I think is how you say his last name.
Karlaftis.
He is projected to be a top 10 pick. He is not going to play in the Music City Bowl. How much do you think that helps? Because Tennessee's not really having to deal with that, where Purdue just lost two critical guys that said, peace out, I'm going to go focus on my professional career.
First of all, just as a fan and someone covering it, I hate to see it because you want to see both of these two teams at their best. And I was looking forward to seeing both of them play because, you know, Bell is probably more of a second or third round pick, whereas Karlaftis, I've seen him as high as sixth in the player rankings for the draft. I mean, we had Jerry DiNardo on our afternoon show for the Big Ten Network, and he said that Karlaftis is as good as Aiden Hutchinson. He just played for Purdue and doesn't get enough attention. Hmm. I don't know about that, but his motor is incredible. So yeah, it's a shame he won't be there. It will help Tennessee for sure. And then in terms of David Bell, I think you would have seen Bell versus Alante Taylor a lot in that bowl game. Now you won't see either one of them. So it looked a little dicey when you weren't going to have Alante Taylor versus David Bell, and now Bell's not going to be there either. So it certainly helps Tennessee. I I like Tennessee going in to this matchup, even if both teams were at full strength. But taking Purdue's two best players away, I think makes it even more of a Tennessee win, and improves things for them, because Tennessee has not had those opt-outs so far. In fact, I asked Josh Heupel if anyone had told him that they were skipping the bowl game, and he said no, and he said he expects them to be pretty much at full strength.
Talking to Vince Ferrara, talking to the University of Tennessee, you know, just a little sidebar, guys, I was just thinking about Jeff Brohm. We forgot to mention Bryson Hopkins, who played really well for the Rams last night. He's getting to play more in there, so just a little shout-out to him, another Nashville connection. But just thinking about guys, Jeff Brohm made a really interesting point, Vince, because I asked him, I said, what's that like when your player, you know, basically your best player comes in and says, I'm out? You know, the coach feels kind of helpless, right? In most cases, the decision's already been made. It's not like he goes – like, I would think that when I was playing, you would go ask the coach for his advice. I don't even think they do that anymore. That's certainly the impression we got from Jeff Brohm. It's like he's helpless in the situation.
I think it's situational, Willie, and maybe those guys, that's how they handled it. But it sounds like that at Tennessee, the Heupel and the staff, that they've had conversations with guys for a while, more extended conversations on their decisions after the season. Heupel's kind of talked about this because he's been asked about it for a while, specifically with Hooker and then, you know, Cade Mays, Cedric Tillman, those other guys with decisions. And so he said, look, you have some initial conversations about it, especially if a player brings it up, but you want to make sure you have all your information to give them at the end of the year so they can make a most informed an educated decision on it. I just think everybody's different. Some guys may have their own sort of, you know, crew and people that they rely on, and maybe they make the decision just tell the coach, like you said. That's unfortunate. I don't like the opting out of these games if it's not for getting healthy for the draft. That was the deal with Alante Taylor. But I think everybody handles it different. Some, it's probably very difficult for them to come to that conclusion. But for others, they're probably being told, stay healthy, doesn't mean anything, exhibition, all this stuff, and they move on. And so I just think it's situational.
Of course, the signing day starts on Wednesday, the early signing period, if you will. So tell me what Tennessee's angle is there. How are they tracking, and how does it go along with what's out there in the transfer portal?
Well, definitely I think Wednesday has become the new national signing day. They hasn't really changed in terms of the titles, but this is where 70% of players end up signing. And so, you know, Josh Heupel asked him about the early signing period, and he said, look, you know, it's good. You've been recruiting some of these guys since they were sophomores, you know, in some cases, and, you know, you just want to get the recruiting process over with. So it's tough with all the coaching changes. I know the NCAA is looking at, you know, whether to keep it this way, if it's leading to more of those in-season coaching changes, but, you know, Heupel seems to be for it, and I think right now Tennessee is positioned pretty well under the circumstances, Willie. I mean, they came in late, then they were already behind in state. They're not going to have a great year in terms of in state. So that's going to take some more building of relationships, and I think they're working on it, but it's not going to pay off the first year. Right now they're in the top 20 in terms of the recruiting rankings. And under the circumstances of what they were dealing with the NCAA investigation and starting late, I think that's a pretty nice job by Heupel and his staff. We'll see where they finish, but to do that, I think is impressive. Now, they, for a while, they didn't have any commits for, you know, a couple of months, but they've really close strong. There's another four-star running back in Justin Williams, who recently decommitted from West Virginia, that is going to decide today. He's going to commit today, and he's deciding between Tennessee and Auburn. And Tennessee has been winning some recent battles. Caleb Webb, another wide receiver from Georgia, recently picked Tennessee over a couple of SEC schools. They got a junior college defensive back in Desmond Williams. Actually had a run of three straight DBs, including Rodney Harrison's son, Christian Harrison. So they already have Lawyer Malloy's daughter on the UT softball team. Now it looks like starting tomorrow they'll have Rodney Harrison's son on the UT football team. How about those Patriots DB legends as parents on Rocky Top? So they obviously have a quarterback. That's the big part of it. And Taven Jackson, you know, not really a top-notch elite five-star guy in the group, but I think that's still a question mark with the staff on whether they can get that. But right now, I think if they finish top 15, top 20, it'll be really encouraging for fans, and then they can try to build off of it and hopefully for them eventually show they can make progress in state and they can get those elite athletes, because I think those are still question marks about this coaching staff. And real quick, you mentioned the transfer portal. They have to save some spots for the portal. It's just the way it is right now. Unless the NCAA goes ahead and changes the rule officially and allows you to be able to recoup the number of players that you lose in the transfer portal above the 25. Right now, it's you have to include it, and you have to sort of save some spots. If they do that, then you could increase it. The thing for Tennessee is that they may not be in that position this year like they were last year, because there aren't very many guys in the portal. No one since the season ended. So you got to save some spots for the portal. They'll be looking in almost every single position. And I think that will be really telling when you put it all together and how different this roster can look like and improve next year, because the portal is so important.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, 99.1 The Sports Animal, up in Knoxville, and I just wanted to get your thoughts real quick talking about the transfer portal. Spencer Rattler joining the SEC East, going to South Carolina. What'd you think of that move?
Well, I was never huge or, like, assumed that he was going to be the next Kyler Murray or anything like that at Oklahoma. I was a little bit more of a wait-and-see with him at Oklahoma. He certainly flashed and has a lot of skills and potential. It's the most exciting quarterback South Carolina's had in an awful long time. So to have a guy with his pedigree and his recruiting rankings, they haven't seen anything like that at South Carolina. Plus, they got a tight end from his teammate from that Oklahoma team as well. So you package them together. Now it could be a little bit more of a destination place for other transfers, or, you know, closing here in this early signing period. So it gives South Carolina some real juice that they have been missing, and we'll see if that domino continues to fall. So that's strong for him. We'll see how he does in the league, but I think it's definitely a positive for that Gamecocks program.
As we look at hoops now, we all saw that overtime loss to Texas Tech where they just – The shooting was terrible, but they bounced back. They beat UNC Greensboro. They'll play South Carolina upstate, and then the schedule picks up as they get into the end of the year, and then obviously we know conference play will start. But Memphis, Arizona, they'll have to play Alabama. So the schedule is really about to heat up. Where are you at with the Vols right now?
Well, There's so much sympathy from the Tennessee fan base for what's happening to Penny Hardaway in Memphis right now. They feel really bad for him. And just kidding.
Do they?
Yeah, they don't. No, not at all. Not at all. There is a lot of venom going back that direction for sure. So, yeah, Tennessee fans are excited that they're going through all of their struggles, but they still have a ton of talent. Put it together, it'll be on a different level challenging from what they've seen in some of the recent non-conference games other than Texas Tech. Arizona is the interesting team to me. Jimmy Dyke said over the weekend that his top four teams right now in the country he would have Purdue, Baylor, Arizona, Alabama. Two back to back, they have Arizona and Alabama coming up next week. So it will be a tough stretch. I think we'll learn a lot about them. I am not in the panic mode. There are some that are there with this basketball team, even with two losses, because of the shooting percentage. Shot 15% from three-point range, jacking up 39 threes in that Texas Tech game. And then also because they're shooting so many of them. I think that's fool's gold, that if they think that recipe will carry them to SEC and postseason success. I still think they want to play more inside. They need those post players to be more consistent and better in the big games. They have not so far this year. Fulkerson, Gumwa, and they need Brandon Huntley Hatfield, the freshman, to come on as well. If those guys can improve offensively in the post, I don't think they're going to jack up as many threes. But if those guys aren't getting open and aren't making shots, I think that's their fallback. And I think that's not a recipe for their long-term success, even though they're better shooting than what they did against Texas Tech. I've said this a bunch of times. This team, still with all the new parts, you won't know about them until later in the year when they develop and come together more. It's still a work in progress. But I'm more of the, hey, let's relax a little bit. Let's see how they work things out, while still noting that they have some things to try to figure out, and they certainly do.
Well, Vince, appreciate the time as always. Have fun on the midday show. Thanks for the kind words last night as well, and we'll do it again next week.
Yep. Congrats to you, Chase. You guys have an awesome station. You'll keep that rolling. So wish Ryan all the best, and you guys have a great rest of the week. I'll talk to you from Tampa next week.
Ooh, very nice. It'll be nice and warm down there. Thanks, Vince.
See you guys. Thank you.
Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal, up in Knoxville, joins us every week talking Vols, whether it's football or hoops. But as we go to the break, we'll come back with more here, including Pat Sperduto, going to join us in just a second. BetMGM. You know I love BetMGM. They are the king of sportsbooks, and they welcome you with a special offer on Elijah's favorite, the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy NBA action like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Just download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Don't forget, Preds fans, remember, tonight's game is postponed. Preds were set to host the Calgary Flames. Flames dealing COVID situation, COVID outbreak. Their next three games have been canceled or postponed. Their game last night in Chicago and tonight's game in Smashville. But Smashville Live, speaking of that, will take place tomorrow night during the 6 o'clock hour right here on these airwaves, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Special guests, UC Saros and Ellie Tolvanen. So check that out tomorrow night during the 6 o'clock hour here on these airwaves.
Wow.
You can also watch the show on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Smashville Live all season long, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So keep that in mind. UC Saros, Ellie Tolvanen tomorrow night. That should be a great show. Let's say hello and good morning to Pat Sperduto, former head coach of the Nashville Cats, former coach of the Titans, has now been in the Chiefs organization for 12 years. I brought this up. We had Vince Ferrara on last segment before we asked people for some help. I just want to get your opinion on this because I suspect you had a big part in all this. Trey Smith is providing quite the dividends for you guys, isn't he? Sixth round pick And, man, every week I feel like he shows up on a highlight reel of pancaking somebody, coming up with a huge block. I mean, did you guys even think – I mean, was it more of a pro- – I mean, you didn't think he was going to be this good this fast, did you?
I love Trey Smith. Let me start by saying this. Trey and his sister Ashley was an associate athletic director at Tennessee as well. She works for the NFL office now in New York. And those two young people are going to do great things in the world. Forget about football. They are both really, really, really special human beings. Trey Smith is the person, as good as a player as he is a rare human being. I mean, he is a guy that makes a difference in the world. He wants to be a great human being. He wants to give back, and he is so special. Did I think he was going to be a good player? I thought he was going to be a very good player. He had the little medical issues that you know, we kind of investigated, and a credit to our doctors and our front office, the rest of the front office staff, and looking through everything. And when we got him, I knew – you know, he was going to be special, and sure enough, he's been really good. We have two rookies in there at center and at guard.
Wow.
They've both been incredible, incredible players, so we've been very lucky.
What has he been playing, right guard?
He's playing right guard, yep.
Man. Boy, he had a hit on Crosby on Sunday. By the way, not a good idea to pounce around on the logo before the game. I think that's like college stuff, and that's probably not a good idea in college either.
I think we just kind of got the bounces too. I mean, that ball's shaped the way it is, and it bounces different ways. So, you know, it just worked out for us that we got all the breaks, and we were fortunate, and it just kind of steamrolled on them. But you hope that you wish you could have saved some of those bounces for the next game, you know.
I think you're being extremely nice. I think you guys. I think that Chiefs team remembered that Raiders team that went in there and beat them last year.
Come on now.
No, I know, but the story goes that the Raiders circled Arrowhead Stadium after the game, kind of doing their victory lap, and then they did this before the game. So there may have been a little bit extra motivation to stick it to them.
I think once the ball kicked off, you're not thinking about that stuff.
All right.
You're just playing. You're playing the game to the best of your ability, and like I said, you get a bounce here, a bounce there, and all of a sudden that snowball effect is. I've been on both ends. I've been on the side where it's rolled our way, and you know it just continues to roll, and then I've been on the other side where you can't do anything right. You know, it happens, and we took advantage of it, fortunately.
Pat, we need a bounce here and a bounce there for people's help. What are we looking for?
And it's again, I keep saying how great this city is and how much I've fallen in love with the fabric of Nashville, and the community is what's made it so special. And every year we do this, we do our Christmas give out, I want to thank Yogi's Pizzeria again in Creve Hall. They provide, 150 to 200 meals to the homeless, and we go out there and we hand them out personally,
which is a huge hit.
It's awesome. It's a good feeling that at least you know for that day they're going to get a good meal in their belly, and then on top of that we give out in the past we've given out clothing, but with COVID they've kind of caused restrictions, so what we're asking for is the donation time will be on this Saturday. It will be the first one, and then there's another one coming up on the 22nd that I'll let you talk about, Darren, but on this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Neighbors in Germantown, which is at 313 Jefferson Street, and Neighbors in Sylvan Park at 4425 Murphy Road. And that's Zach Piller, a former player of ours at the Titans. His two places, him and his wife, decided they wanted to get involved, and this is a way for them to help the community as well. So we're asking for oversized sweatshirts. They have to be new. Anything large or bigger is appreciated. Darker colors would also be appreciated. It doesn't matter if it has a logo on it, no logo on it, just as long as it's new. Socks, preferably not dress socks, wool socks or athletic socks, anything that they can put on top of their, you know, on top of their feet to give them a little bit more warmth in these winter months. Gloves, size large or bigger, and knit hats, anything to cover their ears.
Once again, put that out there. And by the way, we will be at Mercedes-Benz of Music City next Wednesday asking for your help with the same list that Pat keeps throwing out every day on our show. That's at 734 Envious Lane. So keep that in mind. Next Wednesday, we'll be doing our show on December 22nd at Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and they're going to help us collect stuff that day as well. So for people maybe that just literally heard that, Pat, and need to hear the list again, could you run through it real quick?
One more time.
Hey, Pat, real quick before you go down the list again, I just want you to clarify one thing, because this is different this year, right, that you were only able to give out new stuff this year,
right,
and not used clothes like we have in the past?
Yeah, because of COVID and because of the limitations that I'm sure the city's going to put on us in that respect, they said that, you know, we prefer you to get anything packaged is a plus, like a packaged sweatshirt or a packaged pair of socks or, you know, but as long as it's new, they're saying that we should be able to give it out because it's not passed around to a bunch of different people. So, again, they want new sweatshirts, large or anything bigger than large. So large, double X, triple X, any size bigger than a large is the best because that way they can layer themselves. Socks, preferably athletic socks or wool socks to keep their feet warm. Again, as long as it's either packaged or new, they can be used. Gloves, size large or bigger, again, just to make sure that they keep their hands warm, and then knit hats so they can pull them over their ears and cover their heads. And it really, you know, with COVID, we understand that there are limitations, but we're going to find a way to do something for this community. And that's kind of the way we've approached it. And, you know, when I made some calls to the city, I made some calls to people that have been involved in this process and have done it year out. And that's what they said, to follow this protocol and you should be fine. So that's where we are.
Pat, good stuff. We'll continue getting the word out. Thanks for doing this. I know you got a roll. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Take care.
Pat Sperduto, good stuff from him as always. We will come back. David Poyle coming up at 11:15, our weekly chat with Predators general manager. But we'll come back with the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.